Hello, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of the Questions Bar. Welcome to season two. In season one, Alina and I chatted back and forth about stuff that was happening post-election that was driving us crazy. Her on the East Coast in LA, me here based outside of Washington, D.C. And then we decided that we would open this up to guests, which we're very excited to bring on. So Alina was interviewed for the next episode, which is season two, episode nine. And this is episode 10, where she's going to turn these three questions that she came up with, these three big, brilliant questions that help people tell their stories through basically who they are. It's soul work to me. So this episode, she's going to ask me questions, which is totally not my favorite thing as a journalist. I very much like being on this side of the questioning. But I'm going to go for it. All right. So cheers, Miss Alina, to the bar that we're having, the coffee bar, the water bar.
Yes. So the questions are, the number one question is, what is a miracle that happened in your life that you can share? Anything that comes to you, just to inspire people that miracles happen to everybody. And sometimes we might not think something is a miracle, but it really is. So this is to bring, it's a miracle awareness question. So tell me about a miracle that happened in your life.
Well, I honestly feel that miracles are happening every day, right? So little micro miracles where I'll have a thought and someone, you know, I'll think of someone, they'll call me immediately. I think that's a miracle. And, you know, just like things that I wish would happen. I like my hands are full of boxes. I need to open that door. And then suddenly someone miraculously shows up and holds the door open for me. Right. So tiny little things. And I have a million examples of that, as does everyone. You know, when you really start to pay attention to what is it that makes sense to you, like what makes you feel shiny. But I would say that my biggest miracle is having my kids. You know, that is something I had wanted to be a mother since it wasn't that I even wanted to be a mother. It's just that I wanted to have children. You know, I felt them deeply within me as a little girl. And I went out looking for the best dad I could find for them. And I found him. And, you know, we've raised these amazing kids. Anna will be 30 in September. Dylan just, as I've said before, graduated from Harvard. He's 26. He got a job with this really cool international architecture firm called Pfeiffer, which was his wish when he started. So I think that's a miracle, too, you know, when things happen that you wish for.
You know, and that's amazing also that children are a miracle in a way that they come from nowhere and you bring two cells together and all of a sudden it's a miraculous process that turns them into a physical being. So I ask people, where were you 10 months before you were born? 9 months, you can be like, oh, well, my parents, you know, but 10 months, it's a total miracle, you know, where do they come from?
Yes. And then how to raise them, right?
Yeah.
Parents so that they grow up to be good people.
Yeah.
And I don't know that all parents have that intention. And so anyway, that's my answer to, I've looked ahead at the question. So that's my answer.
Oh, that's a beautiful question. You know, I'm 45, so I'm thinking, like, do I want to have kids or not? I never wanted to have kids. Like as a child, I never dreamt of a wedding. I never dreamt of family. I never dreamt of anything. I dreamt of traveling and having a big company. That's what I dreamt about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, things change. So who knows? But I think, yeah, kids is a miracle. And if it comes, it comes. So question number two is, how do you love yourself when you don't really like yourself, when you don't feel good, where you don't think you've accomplished things? Just when you feel like on the bottom, when you feel on your rock bottom, how do you love yourself?
It's such a good question because I think everyone struggles with this, you know, when there's something in you that just doesn't feel right. But that's how I look at it, that it's an inside job, you know. So I've done a lot of things that have challenged me, my feeling, you know, my deepest wishes to be safe, secure, financially, physically, otherwise. In the last 10 years, I put myself out there in ways that I just kept going for it without really like overthinking it. So in that process, I sometimes would feel lonely because I was alone by myself for much of it. And so I would say, all right, this is the inside feeling, right? Because I'm looking at the world, looking at me and maybe judging me like, what is she doing? Does she even think about this? She's crazy, all that. So, and then I I got good at flipping it, like immediately saying from the inside out, this is how I see the world. And that's what matters. So I really feel like it's an inside job for all of us, but you know, that's how I internalize it. So if I look good on the outside, that always makes me feel better. Like we keep having this conversation about hair, you know, like this has been me and my hair have like a color war, you know, like just it wants to be what it wants to be since I was a baby. I came out with all this hair that the nurses put like a bow in it. And so ever since we've had this struggle, I want to tame the mane. The mane wants to be free. So I always feel better when I feel tamer. Right. Because I tend to be kind of fiery sometimes, and I work hard to make sure that my words aren't sharp, especially when I feel challenged or overheated or something. Like right now, it's like 100 degrees in Washington, and it's just everyone's feeling very hot, you know, in all ways. So I just try and cool myself down internally the best I can and accept myself for who I am, where I am, when I am, which is the best advice. One professor, he was a physics professor in college, my first day of freshman year, he was my class, and he said, be where you are, when you are, and you will have the best life. So that's how I try and move through it.
I love that. Be where you are, when you are. Yeah. There's a book I read and there was a quote, she lived 2 feet outside her body or something like that.
Oh, interesting.
And people a lot of times don't live in themselves. They live outside of themselves. And I think maybe that is a trick, right? To come back to who you are, to come back to yourself. When you come back and you're in your body, like, oh, this is me.
Yeah.
You know, this is nice.
I actually go through the day like that. Like, you know, like external forces are happening. I just got a bill from GoDaddy that wasn't there, and I had to spend 20 minutes or 30 minutes on the chat. You know, like little things that are nitpickly that you do, you know. So I just try and like breathe into it and allow myself to let out the air, the gas. And then I go, let's climb back in, right? I like as a massage therapist and a yoga teacher and yogi, you know, every day I try and climb back in my body, especially when I feel triggered to jump out of it. Right?
Because
yeah. That's not right. You know? So I'm like, all right, climb back in, sister. Feel your knees, wiggle your toes, give yourself a hug, breathe. It's going to be
It's like it's being your own parent, really, parenting yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I said too. You have to I look at myself out from outside and I'm like, hey, girl, like, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
And really be here for yourself.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and I think our responses to these questions are very similar, you know, just like being heart-centered and appreciative. And I mean, you know, you can only be so hard on yourself. You can only do the best you can and keep going, right? Every day is a gift. We don't know what's coming next, not in the next 10 minutes, you know? And so this idea of looking forward too much, I think that makes us feel bad, right? So then that gets reflected in all kinds of places. So I don't know, going back in, climbing back in.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about old people who are like really, really old and they think, oh, life is almost over. And they still enjoy life. And I'm thinking, ice cream tastes the same. You know, the weather feels the same. It's how you experience this different because right now they are thinking, is it their last day? Is it last month? Is it their last summer? And so they're really experiencing it from a different standpoint. They don't go, oh my God, how do I look? They're like, oh my God, I love my life. Like, this is amazing. I get to be here in the summer. I get to eat ice cream. And young kids like, oh, whatever. I want to get there. And they live through there or they look through a magazine or they look through, you know, TV thing or whatever, and they think I need to be like someone else, and so they live outside of themselves, like what you said, right? You want to bring climb back in. But if you think about it, we're all experiencing things the way we want to experience them. That's something that's up to us. It doesn't matter what we look like, you still get to eat ice cream or whatever. I don't know why ice cream comes in, but I feel like ice cream is a universal summer vacation symbol. But it really made me realize it doesn't matter what I look like right now. I get to experience it. And how cool is that?
Right. And that's the whole flipping of the outside in and the inside out, right? When you're looking at the world through your eyes, it's your choice.
Exactly.
I constantly remind myself, I get to pick how this makes me feel. I mean, that famous Eleanor Roosevelt quote, you know, doesn't matter what which one. She had so many, but you know the one about the only one who gets to decide how you feel is you. I'm paraphrasing, but something like that. And so I think that if more people, like to your point, if I'm going to refer back to your answers to these three questions from our previous episode, you know, you were saying how you were giving yourself kisses and hugs. And I just feel like that is the answer and how you want to make the world love itself. That's what you would do if you were president. So I think, you know, the love thing, it's the beginning, it's the end.
Well, I think it's the only thing we can control. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that's also inherently already in us,
yes.
Because as a little baby, you love yourself. There's no such a thing as like, oh my God, somebody's other baby's stroller is nicer than mine. And that means I suck. Oh my God, her thighs are smaller than mine and I suck. Like babies don't think that. We learn that. We learn to compare ourselves. But if we just go like, oh wow, this is so cool. I'm here. And like, oh my God, this is me. This is so neat. Like I'm right here. And you just start digging yourself kind of thing. Like, I really dig myself. I think I'm so cool. Mm-hmm. I love myself. I take myself out on dates. I buy myself flowers. My fiancé buys me flowers. I buy myself flowers. You know, I do things like just to love myself up. And for those people who are thinking, oh, well, flowers are expensive, these are $10 at Trader Joe's. And it's cheaper to buy flowers once a week than buying dessert every day.
Yeah.
And honestly, smelling these flowers, I smell them every day. I smell the roses every day.
Love that.
And that brings me so much joy that no food can do. So it's not about the money, it's your choice. And if you don't spend money on roses, go outside and smell the flowers. Mm-hmm. In the store, even, you go into the store. But the haters are going to hate, and people are always going to find something in everything. There's not something wrong. But yeah, I think what you said, you know, being your own guardian, wiggle your toes, do the yoga, yeah. And allowing yourself to be yourself is so important.
Yeah. You know, I just recently joined forces with a company called Mobile Tranquility, and we take massage into corporations. So I was just appointed the director of the seated chair massage business, part of the business, the program, and we're going to take it national because it's so
amazing.
Powerful. Yeah, I get to go into right now. We have big clients in DC. So two, three times a week, I'm in a different office building for 4 hours working on the people that, you know, it's a gift from the building itself. So it's interesting to touch so many people when they're at work, right? Everyone's seated and my hands are basically on their shoulders, neck, arms, down into their sacrum a little bit, just so that it gives them relief. I mean, universally, people will get up and just like, I wanted to fall asleep. I was so good. I feel so much better. And it's 15 minutes. And it just to feel inside them. And it's interesting. Most people have like pain right under the scapula,
yes.
Right? Because of this, you know. And I'm always just saying, roll your shoulders, you know, just do this. Do it hourly. And then if you actually do around the world with your neck, but you want to do it methodically, so like 10, 20 seconds each side, it allows the muscle to release. And you'll know it's made an impact when you take that deep breath. It is amazing how few people even know to do that or take the time to be in their bodies. You know, we take ourselves for granted. We don't embrace that. Even if we're in pain, we'll go seek, you know, help outside, which, you know, often is an option and possibly better. But starting with yourself, right? So you take a deep breath.
I'm like, it's amazing, yeah, when I relax, right? It starts, you start, you know, falling asleep and
yeah.
Yawning.
It shows us how exhausted we all are, how much, you know, and if we can go back to your thing about self-love, you know, just love yourself all the time, and then you'll start to feel better and you'll be nicer and it'll radiate and ripple out. So
yeah,
little massage tip of the day.
Yeah, no, and massage yourself. You know, I have this thing with the rollers, and when I watch movies, I just lay my neck on it. And then sometimes I'll put it under my legs and have it massage my calves. And it's such a, like, it makes such a difference. It's little things that make a difference because, you know, we think the other way around, we think the bad, little bad things can make a difference. Like something happened that was bad for 5 minutes and all of a sudden I had a bad day. But think about what the good thing that happened for 5 minutes. It's like when you sleep with a mosquito, right? Like, don't tell me that little things cannot make a big difference. Try sleeping with a mosquito at night. A little tiny mosquito can make a huge difference. But what about the other way around? What about making good difference? What about loving ourselves and looking yourself in the mirror and be like, damn, girl, how are you doing? And you know, it's not about beauty because, like, I don't think I'm conventionally like model type person, but I love myself. I'm cute. I think I'm pretty for me, and that's good enough. Like, I enjoy looking at myself, and that's good enough. And when you start, and that's why, like, we talk about different things and complement each other because you talk about inside more. I talk about outside because outside for me is easier to change. Even though my clients would go deep, deep, deep inside, and you have to go inside. But I do the gateway drugs kind of thing where the outside is the gateway drug. But if you dress yourself up, like I dress myself up, if I look shitty, if I feel shitty, I'll dress myself up in something that makes me feel so sexy and good. And I'll put makeup or not put makeup or whatever, but just make myself look good. And all of a sudden, I'm like, ooh, I feel good. And then I can go deeper. So it's anybody's gets to choose. You can go in deep right away, or you can go on the shallow end and go in deep later. It's your choice. It's a pool. There's two ends.
Exactly.
It's the same water. It's a reflection. The outside will always be the reflection of the inside. And you can, if you work with one, it will change the other. If you work with the other, it will change the one. But it's so important to be happy because, you know, I talk about it a lot, that it's weird that death is a big motivator for me because we're all going to die. Like, literally every single person will die. Will die. Like, that is one thing that's guaranteed. When we'll die, we don't know. But enjoying being alive right now, like, oh my God, we are alive. How amazing is this to be alive? Like, what a trip it is to be like, oh my God, like this, I have hands. Like, this is so amazing. I saw this woman, she had sepsis and she lost her legs and arms. And the day before she got sepsis, she didn't know. You know, you never know. So I'm not saying like, watch out every step and think something bad is going to happen. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is make sure you're here right now. Be here. Be, what is it? Be where
Where
you
you
are
are, when you are.
when you are. Be where you are when you are, because it is the best guarantee to be happy later if you're happy now.
Yeah, just for
You
today,
can't,
just for this moment, right?
just for the moment, you cannot guarantee what's going to happen later, but you have to be where you are when you are. I love that. That is so beautiful.
And I love your point about, you know, what is that access point for you, right? So it depends how you get into the pool, swim through it, you know, and, you know, there's no judgment. It's just like what makes sense for you and where are you in your soul growth and your personal work and all that stuff. And that is one thing that I just adore about women, how we have the courage to look from whatever angle, right? And we want to bring other women in and support their journey in looking inside or whatever that looks like, you know, just so that they're happy and healthy and enjoying what being here, you know, that to me is like the bigger game. That's why I started Incandescent Women magazine, to shine a light on all these spectacular women. I actually, the backstory is, I make these, I have a line of jewelry. I call it Chakra Jewelry by Hope. So it's all pretty and color coordinated like me. Like, that's how I organize the world, you know, in colors. And I make hand-rolled beeswax candles, and this amazing organization, it's a Jewish organization, called Aura, said we need 100 sets of Shabbat candles for this big event. Hadassah Lieberman, Fran Drescher, this amazing Holocaust survivor will be telling their stories. And they were, so I said, yeah, I will happily sell you all these Shabbat candles. And I want to come. So I paid for a ticket and I got to sit in this room with 100 truly amazing women. And I went home that the next morning. I was having coffee with my husband and I said, I'm going to start at this time a blog about this. And so I started the Truly Amazing Women Project, which evolved into the Incandescent Women magazine. And now it's the Empowered Together Network. So it's, you know, how do we love and embrace the power of women and show each other, we got you, sister. You're not alone, you know?
Yeah, but you cannot do that unless you love yourself, though. Because if you don't love yourself, you cannot bring another woman up. because you're going to be envious. You love yourself. You know who you are. You went to school and you remembered, be where you are, when you are. So you were doing that. And then you were able to create space for other women. But if somebody doesn't love themselves, they cannot create space for other women because they'll be constantly comparing themselves to someone else. And it is crazy to me how many women pretend to be self-loving, but they're not. It is wild. And I, you know, as I'm creating my new brand from being a chef for 15 years, and I'm still figuring out what is my next kind of thing. And I love the clothes and I think it's really fun because it's like a gateway kind of thing. The gateway drug, but really I'm so passionate about self-love, but how can I teach someone how to love themselves if I don't know them? You know, that's why you have private sessions with clients. But I think through social media, when you put on clothes, you start seeing like, oh my God, like that is too good for me. Oh, really? Why is that outfit too good for you? Let's explore that. Like, let's dive in. And remembering the first trigger when you stopped loving yourself, because you have loved yourself when you were a baby. It just something happened, but I'm definitely very passionate about it because you cannot create if you don't love yourself. You just can't. It's going to be destructive, and it's going to be people are going to know it.
Yeah,
and, you know, no, and
you're right.
And
yeah.
it also, you know, what saddens me is that there are so many social media influencers that don't love themselves and then they teach other people how to go and do things. And I'm thinking that is blind leading the blind. So I'd love to work with coaches who have a big following or influencers who have a big following so they can influence their following. And I see things, you know, blossoming. I have a client who has a huge following and she's posting about how she's loving herself and how she's strong. And I'm like, yes, that's what I want to see. So
yeah,
anyway,
good coaching.
So anyway, no, it's not about me, but tell me about if you were, third question, if you were the president of this country, what is the first thing you would do?
I think it goes back to, well, I know it goes back to my first response. You know, I would educate small children to not, like to your point, to love themselves. This is how I parented my kids. I felt like I was in their skin. I'm like, what are you feeling? Who are you? How can we bring this out so that you get to be the most spectacular person that you are, that you came into this world to be? You know, you can make different choices and I will support you in whatever that is, but let's just see who you are and how we can do this together. So both my kids went on the paths that were similar, but very different. They're very different humans. I adore them both because they're just such good people. You know, they care, they're honest, they're generous, they're creative, they're funny, they can cook, which I can't. So, you know, it's just really fun to watch them be that way. And I would be on a mission to share that with everyone, because then you have, you know, when you teach, then you become. Right.
Yeah.
So if we teach parents to love their kids in this spectacular way, then they start to love themselves. Right. So it kind of gets to it. And, you know, the only thing that I can do now, because I'm not president of the United States, nor would I necessarily want to be, because that seems like a terrible job. But I'm starting Incandescent Kids magazine to be the change I wish to see in the world. So this is a project where I've been working at it, chipping at it since 2018 when I had an experience that made me say this, I need to create this third online magazine. So Incandescent Women, Be Incandescent is our health and wellness business magazine. And now Incandescent Kids will teach kids to think critically like a reporter. No AI, which I have a zillion thoughts about how that's the end of humanity, especially in the creative realm. And they need to triple source things. They need, you know, so they'll get an assignment. Their parents will pay for the package. So it'll be super affordable. And then we will publish their article. We'll walk them through the whole thing. And I want to do it pretty much K to 20 to college, through college.
I
and
love that.
College kids work with high school kids, work with middle school kids, and then elementary school kids. We just want to see what they're thinking and feeling, because it's usually so, so incredibly honest. And there'll be a teaching component to it in addition to the journalism. It'll be, you know, articles and all kinds of journalistic things, photos, videos, illustrations, games, puzzles, whatever the kids want to do to play with this. I want it to be international. I want to have them have a pen pal network. What's it like to live in France? What's it like to live in India? What's it like to live all over the, you know, in Antarctica? And talk to them each other, and there'll be a place for them to write resumes, to get internships. And it's really this whole school of just self, you know, just self love, right?
So I love that. That's the answer, right? For you too. It is, it's all self love. It's all joy. I mean, honestly, we all want to be happy, right? Like at the end of making million, gazillion, bazillion dollars, we all just want to be happy. But you're going to be happy if you don't love yourself. So there you go.
Yes. And then you can make others happy, which also makes you feel happy. And then it's
exactly
a positive feedback loop.
Exactly. And just to clarify, we're not talking about selfish self-love where like all about me and this is just me. No, self-love is about I love myself so much. I am a person and I care about myself and I'm full with my own love. And because I'm full with my own love, I want to help other people and I want to do things for other people. It's not about me competition. That's a big distinction.
Yes.
Because some people might not see self-love. Some people say, I love myself so much and they're just really selfish people. And that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, it gets complicated.
Yeah, it's self-full. I call it self-full. You have to have yourself full so that you can share with others and not just keep. Because if you keep, here's the distinction between selfishness and self-fullness is when you are selfish, you keep giving yourself more because it's never enough. You can never be full because you don't love yourself fully. But when you're self-full, you love yourself enough. You're like, wow, I love myself. I want to share this with others. I want to give to others. I want to share this experience of joy. There is enoughness. If there is not enough, you don't love yourself.
Yeah, beautifully said.
I think that's my, for me, that is my way of defining and having a distinction for them.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. So that's what we're here about on the questions bar, asking these big questions, having a conversation, unpacking them, and sharing stories about everyone with everyone, right?
You know what would be fun? Just to throw it out.
Yes.
What if we open it up to anybody who wants to be a part of the podcast to come on, not as a guest that we interview, but what if they are a woman who wants to learn how to love herself and we can help her directly?
I think you just birthed season 3.
I mean, really, like I really want to help people. I genuinely want to help women fall in love with themselves. It's like a dating show, but dating yourself.
Oh, cool. All right. Let's do that for season 3. Why not?
You know, open it. And if anybody's interested, because I don't want to put people on the spot either, because some people might feel they don't want to share their identity. So they can ask us questions and say, hey, how do I love myself in this my situation?
Well, then
we talk about
a podcast.
It.
Yeah. All right. So you've just just came to a questions bar meeting. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, this question bar started because we just like talking to each other. We were making each other feel better. So we thought, why not have it as an audio for other people to listen to and eavesdrop? So if it evolves to something else, that will be another miracle, right? Because what if, oh my God, what if, I'm going to paint a miracle. What if this election was a miracle in the way it brought us together, that we developed this podcast that created self-love all around the world?
Ooh, there you go.
And everybody, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, a year from now, everybody's happy and loving themselves and loving each other. And it's because of us, because of the election, because of what we created. It's a possibility. It is a possibility.
I like the world of possibilities. Endless.
All right.
Well, welcome to season 2 of the Questions Bar. In the last episode, you had Alina answering these questions, and now I am here, Hope Katz Gibbs here in Washington, D.C., chatting with you all about sort of how I see the world and trying to make it a better place.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, girlfriend. Here to the Questions Bar. Ready
yes.
A cup of coffee and a cool Klimt mug. And we will see you all next week. Next week's episode will feature Stun Gun Jen, and then we will have Angelique Santana, who is an amazing chef, and she is all about love. And then we have Cynthia DeLorenzi, who is co-founder of the Empowered Together Network with Alina, me, and our friend in Canada, Ava Ross. And then we don't know who's coming on next. We're going to throw it out there and see what people think.
And you know what? Also, we might have obstacles with this podcast that we might feel blocked, but that is another part of the hero's journey, and we're just going to continue doing what we love and talking, and we'll see how things unfold. This is
Yes.
an experiment for all of us.
And, you know, how much courage do you actually need to answer these questions and show up for yourself, right? So
Yeah,
it
exactly.
seems okay to us, and it's, you know, but we'll see, you know. Everybody's got their personal journey. We're just here to be guides.
Exactly, exactly.
All right.
Yay.
Beautiful Alina, thank you so much for your time and your thoughtful questions that you've
Thank
created
you.
for the questions bar. Thank you to our audience. We will see you again next week. Be well, stay safe, keep the peace, keep the faith.